Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams in studio with Brian Cochran of John Morin & Associates. He is a certified financial planner and investment person, and we are excited to have you, Brian. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. This is a lot of fun for me.
Well, Brian, of course, my criteria in selecting guests always has to involve basketball. And you're a sports guy, basketball guy. I've seen you shooting some hoops over at the JCC.
Yep. I'm a junkie. I've got my kids in basketball now.
And yeah, that's
we watch as much as we can make time to watch, and we play as often as we can. It's a lot of fun.
That's fun. Of course, we love other sports, too. You know, we're loving to watch football now. I'm not much of a baseball guy, and the main reason I'm not is because I can't see it. A couple times when I was young, when I was 7 years old, I remember I was in the outfield living in Silver City, New Mexico. My dad was doing his master's, and the coaches were hitting pop-ups. Well, that pop-up went right over the top of my glove and hit me straight in the nose and broke my nose. So that was my last, first and only baseball experience. I decided I can't see that ball, but the big, fat, round ball, I can see it. And had fun playing that most of my life. So Brian is a family man. He's received some really spectacular recognition for all of his efforts vocationally. Forbes magazine has recognized him as the number one financial advisor in New Mexico for 2018 and also 19. Is that too?
Yeah, that just came out last month, I think.
Well, congratulations. That's some neat accolades, and you must be doing something right, Brian.
Yep. And for us, I get the recognition, but it's really about our team. Mm. So we have more of an ensemble approach, we call it, where we have 9 team members in our practice, all that support our clients. So I get the name and the badge and all of that and the recognition, but the team really makes it happen, and it's a reflection of our efforts.
Well, Brian, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. Most of us are very nervous about the political climate. You know, one minute we have our president tweeting this and the stock market drops 200 points, and the next day we're hearing about a Chinese-America trade war, and the stock market drops another 200 points, but then by Friday it's all recovered. And I just wanted to have you in studio today so you can kind of give us an explanation of how all this is affecting the financial markets and maybe get some recommendations from you. But I want to start by you telling us about John Morin & Associates. You just alluded to you have a team concept. Tell us about you guys and how you operate.
So we've been around 22 years. We now have offices here in Albuquerque and also in Arizona, but started here in Albuquerque. Our founder, John Moore, and his wife, Connie, started the practice largely based on values. They wanted to express their faith and the biblical principles that they know work in personal finance, mm-hmm. and that's hard to do when you're in a larger national firm. You just don't really have that freedom to pray with clients, to express your spirituality in the practice, and we can do that. And being independent helps us. So being independent means that we are not beholden to a bank or an insurance company. We get to build our own processes, build our own culture, our own team. And that sense of freedom gives us the ability to, you know, be unique. And so we do two things. We do investment management. So we manage clients' portfolios on their behalf. Take discretion of the assets is what we call it. So we can make decisions for them. And then we also do financial planning, which is all about making good decisions with the resources you have. And that's my passion, is around the planning side, but we do a great job on the investing as well.
Well, we've talked about seeing each other in the gym, and off air we're talking about, you know, working out. It requires some regular dedication. You know, you got to get in the gym 3 or 4 times a week. If you go once a week, all you're really doing is creating a lot of soreness. So if you have a regular schedule and you have some goals, plus, I will tell you, as a financial advisor, I'm going to liken that to my first experience at the JCC. I'm an old University of New Mexico basketball player. Of course, I learned how to lift weights back in the mid-70s. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now everything is totally different. So as a 50-plus-year-old, so this several years ago I got involved at the J, I went in and I started lifting, thinking that I knew everything about lifting weights, right? Mm-hmm. Well, Chris and Josh and some of the other trainers over at the J were watching me cringing, and yet they were very gracious. And they were just praying, I think, that I didn't hurt myself, because I was doing squats and all kinds of things that I didn't need to be doing. Didn't have the flexibility, didn't have the core strength, didn't have a lot of things that I should have had that you have when you're young, but if you don't continue working out in all those areas, you really need to progress to those points. So after about 90 days, they just gently came in and said, Jim, hey, try some of these things. And so just gently and professionally, they got me into a routine that's really helped me tremendously. And I think you kind of do the same thing with people.
Yep. And there are so many parallels between personal health and personal finance. And I actually have a younger sister who owns her own gym out in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about this all the time. It's self-discipline. It's knowledge, certainly. And whether it's fitness or finances, all the information's out there on the website. So why aren't we healthier in our bodies and in our money? It's because it's more about the application. And that's where a personal trainer, a coach, an advisor, in our case, can bring a lot of value. And without that, people tend to go astray. They may hurt themselves even, right? If you're at the gym and you're doing things wrong, you can actually set yourself back. And the same thing's true with personal finance. And we see it all the time. And so I love those parallels because I have a passion for, you know, my own wellness, my health, the health of my family. And certainly on the finances, you can draw those parallels all the time.
Brian, this is a little bit off script, but I was just thinking about, you know, kind of working out without any instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And not really knowing how to use the equipment or depending upon knowledge from 30 years ago in fitness, because it is totally different now. It's a lot more safe ways, better, more efficient ways to build muscle, flexibility, strength, you name it. If you're a young athlete trying to develop as a player, or you're an older person trying to maintain some body mass and support for your skeletal structure, et cetera, everything today is new.
Yep.
And it's much better. Supplements, you know, we have Jennifer Bryant with Nourish Nutrition Counseling on yesterday, and she comes in and talks to us about nutrition. And the things that she says are very simple. And the things today I think you're going to say are simple.
Yep.
But they're kind of hard to be disciplined to do them. So I'm going to start with a question. What's the biggest mistake people make as they consider investing?
Well, I think a lot of it's just not getting started. And again, let's draw that personal health and personal finance relationship there. A lot of people will say, well, I'll start tomorrow, right? So it's better to take action than to do nothing. An example is there was a couple I was sitting with several years ago who had inherited some assets. They had a lot of resources, really, and they were trying to decide how to invest. And one of the big debates in the investment world is, do you want to be active or passive? Do you want to pick stocks or mutual funds that are active and trying to make decisions, or do you just want to participate in the overall moves of the market by buying passive funds? They were so caught up on that decision of what to do between those two. They did nothing. And in the end, they missed a very long bull market that we've been in, where stocks have risen quite a bit over the last 10 years. So sometimes inaction, it's this paralysis by analysis. So rather than sitting there wondering, should I do squats or deadlifts today, just get in the gym and do something. Get your heart rate up. Let's get moving. The same thing with personal finance. The first thing is to take action. And oftentimes that starts with a goal. You know, what do you want to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
And then start moving toward that goal. But don't wait for tomorrow. It's so easy to delay.
Well, a lot of times people, I'm a retired banker, primarily a lender.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is when you see how the interest earned on loans compounds over years, you just wish that you were the person loaning that money, with good collateral and everything, so you
sure.
know you're going to get paid back. And that's really what you're teaching people to do, is to earn compound interest and be involved in probably diverse markets and different things.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take a couple of scenarios, and maybe we'll start the scenarios after we take a break. We have Brian Cochran with John Moore & Associates in studio with us today talking about financial matters. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Brian right after this.
Good change morning. Is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system running?
From adapter, check filter, inspect compartment.
Wait, no. I might have to get up on the roof for all this?
Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor.
Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
Hi, I'm Ben Lucero, president and owner of Indigo Mortgage, and proud to be a locally owned and operated mortgage company right
here
in Mexico.
That's good. You go from personal finance there to mortgage investments.
Being local carries many positives for consumers, such as being able to meet face-to-face. You will receive quick response times, and all loans are processed here locally. And you will always talk with the same people from application to funding. All of our employees live here, and all profits from loan origination stay right here in New Mexico. Indigo Mortgage believes in supporting our local economy. And if at all possible, we use local vendors for supplies and technical support. I personally hire and vet all loan officers, and I assure you that your loans will be dealt with both ethically and with knowledge. Indigo Mortgage can offer the best rates and terms available on the market, so contact us today on the net at indigomortgage.net or by calling 836-5700. That's 836-5700. Indigo Mortgage, because nobody cares more about your mortgage loan. NMLS 1-88-348.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at Gonstead-NM.com or 505-884-8584.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran, financial planner with John Moore and Associates. And John, what are these fancy CFPs and CKAs behind your name?
So the CFP is Certified Financial Planner, probably the most recognized designation in our industry. There's over 70,000 CFPs out there, and that's really a reflection of comprehensive planning. So to receive that designation, you have to test out basically on tax, estate planning, basics of personal finance, retirement planning, several topics. And then the CKA is a rather unique designation. It's Certified Kingdom Advisor. And that is issued by the Kingdom Advisors Organization, and it's a reflection of our competency in the application of biblical principles. So if you think of that combination, it's sort of the things that we need to know about the law of the land and the CFP and how basics of finance, along with an overlay of God's principles on money.
And we want to make sure we remind our listeners that your organization, John Moore and Associates, sponsors Money Wise program here on KNKT. It airs daily, 4:30 a.m. in the morning, which I know how many of us are up that early, but there are some early risers. And then again at 11:30 a.m., so just about an hour and a half before our program daily. And Rob West goes through a lot of questions with listeners talking about financial things. And you have some accountability with this organization. You have some continuing ed. You have some fellowship with a lot of different believers.
Yep. It's a wonderful organization. We get ongoing teaching through a monthly study group, and then we try to participate every year in the national conference where we get a lot of not only inspiration but good, solid training on that application of God's principles around money. And it's really changed the way we do our business. And I like to say, out of all the things we do, we're involved across our industry. CKA and the Kingdom Advisors training is the best we get.
Well, I want to give, go over some examples. I've got a daughter that just graduated with her master's degree. She's working out at Sandia National Laboratories, just got married, and, they now have a little bit of extra income. Mm-hmm. They're getting some 401k and some matching funds and some different things. This is the time people like that need to come see you and do some financial planning. What does that entail?
Yeah, so financial plan is all about allocation of resources. So it helps to have some extra resources, but we all need to make decisions on how we allocate our piece of God's portfolio is what we like to call it, just the sleeve of assets, the income that you receive. And the big challenge for a lot of young people is balancing just lifestyle expenses. Maybe their income's not significant yet, but it's new income and they have to make decisions. So balancing those expenses versus debt and saving for the future, that's it's juggling between all these competing priorities. So the first thing we like to do is sit down and start, especially if you're in a couple, as your daughter is, a new marriage, start to have that conversation about money and prioritize what do we want to accomplish and start to set goals. So whether it's buying
and how do they get involved with you, Brian, to do that? Is this a consulting fee that you charge to set up a plan for them? How does that work?
So most of our clients work with us, have $150,000 of assets or more.
Okay.
And we then combine those two services I mentioned before, the financial planning and the investment management.
Okay.
But any good qualified financial advisor, either a CFP or certainly a CKA, is going to sit down and help you through that thought process of how do we prioritize amongst, again, these competing sort of resources and what's going on in our personal finance. And what I see with most young people, the biggest thing we talk about is lifestyle. So there's a huge range in lifestyle, right? We all see it. It's the cars you drive, the home you buy, whether you're eating at home or dining out. And when you have limited income, as a younger couple typically will, lifestyle choices can eat up all of your liquidity, all your finances, and limit your ability to go out and pay down your debts or give or save. And so what most young people do is they say, well, I will give or I will save later when I have more. Mm-hmm. And you can get into that cycle of saying that all the way through your 30s and your 40s. Before you know it, you're 50 and you never got around to saving or giving in many cases. So what we say is, let's make a habit out of a few key things. Let's start giving first fruits. Okay. So every time you have income, make a gift. Okay. If you don't know how much to give, the tithe is a great place to start. So a good 10% giving. Don't treat that as a speed limit though.
Okay? Right.
That's a good place to start. And then start saving as well. And a lot of people have access to an employer-sponsored plan, like a 401k, a 403b that might have a match. You never want to leave that match on the table. That's free money. So for someone like your daughter, if you can get 3% match from your employer, at least be saving that 3% and getting that match. So you're giving and you're saving, and start that discipline early so that then you can live on the rest. Okay. So the problem we see a lot of people is they spend as much as they want to spend. And then if there's some left over, they will save and then give. And that's the typical sort of American way of managing your money. And the result of that is what we see in our personal finances around the country, where most people are not properly prepared for retirement. They aren't saving enough and certainly not saving consistently. And they have a lot more debt than they'd probably like to have. And the biggest thing I hear from even our very successful clients who have built up a good net worth and have great financial security is, I wish I would have started earlier. So for those young people out there, you know, that's the biggest wisdom that anybody in their 50s and 60s certainly would tell you, is start soon, because time's on your side. And the sooner you start, the greater you can grow your investments over time. But I like the idea of just making those habits early.
So I'm going to try to review the math here. So you have 100% of what you make.
Yep.
Now remember, that net check you get is not your gross income. You have taxes, you have insurance and other kinds of things that come out of that pre-tax normally if you're employed. And so you have a net check. And what I hear you saying is, very first thing you want to do is you want to take 10% of your income, if you can, or just make it a priority.
Yep.
So 10% of the gross amount, 10% of the net amount.
We like to say 10% of growth is ideal.
Okay.
But that you don't have to start there. Maybe you just aren't comfortable. Maybe you're just getting started. One of our rules is to give progressively, meaning every year give a little bit more.
Oh, okay.
So even if you feel like you can't give 10% today, maybe start at 3 or 4% and then next year get to 5 and then to 6 and kind of sneak up on yourself with your giving and your saving that way.
Well, I want to make the math easy for people. So let's say you have a check of $1,000 and you put aside $100 goes into giving. It may go to your church, may go to some ministries that you appreciate very much. Is there a biblical precedent for where that money needs to go?
It needs to go to God's purposes.
Yeah.
You know, it's all God's money. So let's start there. Let's back up for a second. That's maybe the foundational principle. It is the foundational principle for believers, is all of it's God's, not just that 10%.
There you go. Yeah.
That's supposed to be tithe. And one of the things we've done as Christians is we've turned the word stewardship into a giving word, when really it's about all of it's God's, not just that 10% that you've been called to give, maybe through hearing about the tithe in a sermon at some point.
I love that perspective.
So we got it. It's all God's money. So let's start there. So a good principle is 10, 10, 80.
Okay.
Okay. So you've got 10% giving, 10% saving, live on the 80%. Okay. Now again, some of that 80% might be taxes and other things.
But sure.
But 10, 10, 80 is a great goal. Very rarely will you see someone who's been doing that consistently over the years that hasn't saved enough. Because one of the things it does for you also is it keeps your lifestyle in check. If we're living on everything all the time and we're always growing our expenses, then we are constantly discontent. We're always spending more. And it makes it very hard to be financially independent later in life, because your lifestyle is always creeping up and you've set a high bar. So 10, 10, 80 for those young people is great. And you can teach that to your children, by the way. If they get an allowance or they get a gift from grandma and grandpa at Christmas, you know, teach them, okay, some of this needs to be saved for later. Some of it needs to be given, or should be given. And then let's go ahead and go to the toy store or go on Amazon and do shopping with the other 80%.
Brian Cochran in studio with us this afternoon. He is with John Moore and Associates, and does investment and financial planning for people. We hope you'll stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back after these messages.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses, who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
We're visiting today with Holly Slade, with Dave Slade and Associates. Holly, we appreciate, of course, your sponsorship of KNKT and all that you've done here over the years, along with Dave. You've been buying and selling homes for a very long time, so you're the expert I go to when I've got questions.
Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate that.
If someone is in a home, they're thinking about selling it, is there an advantage to doing any remodeling before they sell?
You know, there is. We always have to be careful about over-improving a home if you're going to sell it quickly. If you're going to stay in your home for a period of time, then you can do something like a full kitchen renovation. But if you're planning on selling, you might just want to do some updates to your kitchen, such as paint your cabinets or add new hardware. The same for the bathroom. You've got to really watch over-improving so that you get your money back out of it.
Prior to that, there's those marks around the handles. If you're not going to replace the hardware, just cleaning, you know, making sure it's a nice clean space to come into.
There is nothing like a clean house with a fresh coat of paint where people feel like they can just come in and bring their furniture and move right in. They don't want to have to do a whole lot of work before they move in.
Well, that's some great information, because before someone goes out and spends a lot of money on remodeling, it could be something that is more than they need to do. But, of course, the best way to make sure you're doing the right thing is to talk to the expert, like I do when I talk to you. What's the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
They should give us a call at our office, which is 505-342-8100.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran, John Moore and Associates in the Power Ford Studios this afternoon, Faith Family Ford, Power Ford. John Moore and Associates is really a company that is based on Christian principles, certified kingdom advisors. I would assume all of your advisors have that certification and are participating.
Yep.
Many of our listeners listen to Rob West with MoneyWise. That airs on KNKT at 4:30 in the morning and 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time daily, Monday through Friday. A lot of great information. And your business, Brian, really requires a lot of continuing ed. You guys are just constantly reading and discussing the markets and doing different things. Before we go into, I want to finish up that segment we were talking about young people and where they start and how they get started. But before we do that, I want you to go back to your team. You mentioned you got 8 or 9 people on your team. Is that kind of a, like the same thing like a football team where there's a quarterback and some linemen? And I hate to make sports analogies all the time, but does each one of those people have a specialty in what they do on your team?
Definitely, and that's the typical financial advisor firm is siloed. So each advisor in the practice would have maybe 1 or 2 people helping them and serving their select clients within the overall brand. Mm. What makes us unique is that ensemble approach. And because we're all serving all the clients all the time, we can specialize.
Nice.
So I spend my time on financial planning. My partner, John Moore, loves the investment side, so he's always researching on that end. And I certainly read on that space, too, but that's where his passion is. We have team members that just focus purely on certain types of service. For example, a lot of our clients are very generous. We encourage that. We teach that. And we have one team member who specializes in helping clients give away stock. So he gets to do that, and he does extremely well.
As part of a giving plan.
Exactly. And he's a rock star in that space and makes it efficient and makes sure the clients have everything they need to properly report those gifts. So we all have specialties, and we have Jamie here in our Albuquerque office who makes sure on the compliance side that everything's taken care of, but really also that clients are getting the best service possible across the whole group. So everybody has their specialty, and we love doing it that way.
Now, you have a boss at home that's kind of supervising your activities when you're not at the office. What's she have to say about all this?
You know, we're one of those couples that's extremely complimentary in the sense that you know, I love numbers. I love finance. I really love what I do. I get to show up everywhere. She loves relationships. She loves language. So I was a math person. She actually was an editor before she stopped working to primarily care for our children. So one of the things we've had to do is because we have different priorities in the household is we have to pause every once in a while and talk about money. It's my every day I'm in it, right? So it's easy for me, but we have to pause and be intentional about having money conversations. So about once a year, we'll sit down and talk, okay, here's where the expenses are going, or whether it's a big thing changing with the children. You know, if we want to do private school versus charter school versus public, and there's financial parts to that, obviously. So we have to be very intentional about communicating about money so that I don't just sort of take control and run with things and assume that she's along, you know, happy and along for the ride. And we see that with a lot of couples. It could be the husband. It could be the wife. There's one money person and one person who's maybe not so much in the financial mindset, and it, communication becomes absolutely essential.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to that young couple. That's, sure. Starting out, you got some principles they should kind of abide by.
Yeah, we talked about how keeping the lifestyle in check is so crucial. So let's talk about some of the big areas of lifestyle that get people in trouble. The two biggest expenses for almost every family are going to be housing and transportation, your house and your car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pretty simple, but we can make big mistakes. Part of the reason why we can make mistakes here is because you can get a loan for both of those things. So you are able to stretch far beyond your means. And most lenders will give you maybe a bigger loan than is
no,
right.
No, lenders will always give you more money than you need.
Yep.
Absolutely. If you have good credit.
And they want to make sure you can pay them back, but they don't necessarily need to make sure that you have enough money for saving and giving, the other key priorities that most families want to express. So one of the rules of thumb we tell our young couples, or any couple really, is try to keep your house within about 2 to 2.5 times your annual income. The price of the home. So if I'm out shopping for a house and my household income between myself and my spouse is $100,000 a year, I'm looking for a $250,000 house.
Mm.
Now, a lender will loan you much more than that.
Yes,
so
they will.
I did some math on this the other day for some young professional that we were coaching, and you know, a lender might loan you enough to buy maybe a $500,000 or $600,000 house if you make $100,000 a year and you don't have other debts. So they will gladly let you go and stretch yourself far beyond what is reasonable. So people say, well, my friends have this much house, or they'll loan me this much, but your friends may not be saving properly for retirement. Your friends may not be givers like you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the lender is not looking at your long-term retirement plan or your giving. So keep that in mind. 2.5 times your annual income is a good kind of starting point, and try not to exceed that. And then if you want to have more house, then go out and get more income.
You know? Yeah, there you go.
Continue to work hard, continue to advance your career. The other one is transportation, so cars. So in 1982, that's when I was born, the average price of a car was $14,000.
Wow.
Okay, now it's about $34,000. Mm-hmm. So cars and homes continue to get more expensive. So we can spend a lot on vehicles, and I think it's an easy area because our car can very much be part of our identity. We want to be in a nice car, a comfortable car, and there's so much out there. And, you know, you can go in thinking you're going to buy a $30,000 car, walk out with a $50,000 car.
Well, they used to only finance cars for, say, 36 months. Now you can get a 60 or a 72-month loan.
72 months really common. I was actually at CarMax the other day just kind of looking at some vehicles and what they put on the sticker on the side of the window. And I don't mean to pick on them because everybody does this, but they put this price if you paid cash, and then the financing cost they put, they don't put the 48-month financing or the 60-month, they put the 72-month because people buy the payment.
Yes.
Big mistake. So what the guideline here, so 2.5 times your annual income is the guideline for buying a house.
Mm.
If you're out there trying to buy a car and you want to keep your finances in check, look for about 3 times your monthly income.
Okay.
So if I'm making, you know, $10,000 a month just to get in working round numbers, then I can have a $30,000 car. Now, how many people do you know that make $120,000 a year are out there buying a used car that's $30,000? You know, they're usually going to buy something nicer, newer.
Sure.
One of our team members used to be worked for Walgreens. He was in the pharmacist side and ended up managing stores. And he would work with his young pharmacists. And the first thing they want to do, they get out of pharmacy school, oftentimes, you know, close to a six-figure or in a six-figure income. They want that BMW.
Yes.
First thing.
Mm-hmm.
Gets you in trouble right away. You get that lease or that payment on the BMW, you buy a nice house, you no longer have capacity to save, to build up emergency reserves, do those other things. So keeping those two in check will give you so much freedom for other things. And I see a lot of people who regret buying that big house, regret buying that big car, but people typically don't regret giving. I've never seen giver's remorse like you see buyer's remorse,
mm-hmm.
and they don't mind saving. So play it safe, you know, keep some capacity there within your budget for saving and giving.
Brian, give us those two tips one more time. When you buy a house, mm-hmm. you want to keep the price of the house under 2.5 times your annual or combined annual income if you're a couple.
Exactly. 2.5 times income. And then if you buy a car, it's 3 times your monthly income.
All right. More with Brian. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We will be right back.
Here's Joy Junction CEO, Alma Reynolds.
Joy Junction has been serving homeless men, women, and children for 33 years now. And it's a dream come true for our late founder, Jeremy Reynolds, to have our new additional rooms and a separate space for single men and single women. But we need your help. Your generous donation means hope to somebody, and we are here to be that hope.
For more information, go to joyjunction.org. Be that hope. Go to joyjunction.org. Do you have an old clunker sitting there collecting dust, rust, and weeds? Donate it to Joy Junction. We would be glad to take it off your hands. Doesn't matter what condition, running not required. We'll take it. Just contact us. We'll take care of the rest, even towing. Just call 505-217-9586. Your vehicle donation will help us provide housing for Albuquerque's homeless families. Joy Junction, bringing hope to the homeless. Won't you help?
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
At Principal, we get it. You have big plans for your money, but sometimes life has something else in mind. There are twists and turns you never see coming. Twists like job transfers, and turns like new family members. Life doesn't always go according to plan. We can help you plan for that. Principal. Investments. Retirement. Insurance.
Principal National Life and Principal Life Insurance Companies, Principal Global Investors, Principal Securities, Inc. Member SIPC. Member companies of Principal Des Moines, Iowa.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran, John Moore, and associates in studio with us this afternoon, gave us a couple of great tips. And I know it's probably redundant, but I want you to say those again. So young couple, just starting to consider lifestyle and buying a house and buying a car, two major expenses. What are kind of some rules of thumb for those?
Again, be careful on housing, be careful on car. Okay. So housing and transportation on your house, look for about 2.5 times your annual income should be your home price. And on a car, about 3 times your monthly income should be the purchase price. And I know you're not buying either of those things cash a lot of times, but staying within those parameters will make the payments associated with those purchases fit well within a typical budget and leave room for giving and saving.
Brian, having 5 children, and they're all college age now. Well, actually, 3 of them are graduated from college, so past that. I noticed that they frequently had credit card applications coming in the mail to them. So they all need to establish credit somehow. And I think even the Kingdom Builders organization would say, yeah, you probably need to have a credit card. Mm-hmm. But what ends up happening is we start using that money like it's money.
Yep.
It's not money, right?
Yep. And what I often see is people treat the available balance in their credit card as if it's an account balance. So rather than seeing it as going further in debt, they're just eating down some money they already have. So yeah, certainly debt management becomes a big part of this. And again, if you have too much house, if you have too much car, if you have a lot of student loan debt, if you're burdened with these big payments, when an emergency comes about, you don't have the margin, the capacity, the freedom in your budget to take on those additional expenses that life's always going to throw at us, right? Whether it's health and, you know, a health expense or a repair on your car or your home, all those things that come up in life, people simply don't have margins. So then what do? They rely on credit cards. And so they're not spending the credit card on the house, so they don't think they've bought too much house, but the house has eaten up their ability to have capacity to stay out of other debts.
Right.
And that's a vicious cycle when it happens. So,
but if you keep your home in purchase price in the range of 2.5 times your annual income, and then your car 3 times your monthly income, you're going to be pretty safe, even if you finance those items.
That should leave you margin.
Of course, listening to Rob West on MoneyWise program airing here on KNKT, he talks about all the time about having an emergency fund.
Yep.
How much should the emergency fund be?
Emergency funds are so tough because building an emergency fund is so often 2 steps forward, 1 step back, in the sense that emergencies come about while you're building it. So what we say is, you know, start with a $1,000 goal. For that couple with zero in emergency fund, set the small, so many of those emergencies fit within $1,000.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how many really do. So a lot of people don't ever get the emergency fund going because it just seems too daunting a task. So the big long-term rule of thumb, though, let's start with $1,000 and then start stretching to maybe 3 months of your expenses. That way, if you had a short period of unemployment, if you had maybe a disability, some disability insurance plans, you know, you can't get any benefit for 90 days. So you need to be able to cover your own bills.
And again, we're talking about those bills not really exceeding 80% of your income.
Exactly.
Because you're giving 10%. That's just a suggested number. And you are saving 10 in an account. But that doesn't count as the emergency fund, right?
Exactly. So that might be more long-term savings. That could be more your retirement plan. But your emergency fund could be part of that 10%. It's basically money for future purposes so that it's not all spent today.
Okay.
And emergency funds are a sensitive topic within couples because some people might want a larger emergency fund. And we certainly have guidelines. I have one client. He wants several $100,000 always in the bank ready to go. And it drives me nuts because that bank money is not yielding as much as it maybe could, but I really respect his desire to have extra security.
Sure.
If you have a job that's based on commissions or is very uncertain, you know, year by year, maybe it's smarter to have a longer emergency fund, which means maybe you're delaying some of those other things you want to buy because you're trying to build up some reserves. And it's so important to do that. But it is difficult because, you know, I have a young family myself. There's always something coming up that needs a little extra money that's unexpected. So again, our emergency fund has always been two step forward, one step back, where you start getting some momentum and then something comes up and people get discouraged. But that's just the way it works. Be diligent, build that fund, and then that will give you the ability, the freedom to then start to look more long term.
I want to talk to you now about people that might be, let's say, over 50 years old.
Sure.
And they don't have a habit of saving. Maybe they don't have a lot of debt, but they've been living right on the edge of spending every dollar they make. They don't have any savings. They've got that car that costs them 10 times their monthly income.
Yep.
That car was 30% less valuable the day they drove it off the lot. Maybe that person that dreamed all their lives of buying an RV. And I can tell you this, and I don't want RV people to get mad at me, but most people don't have the disposable income to support an RV.
Yep.
Those things are so expensive. Even if you go pay cash for a $60,000 RV, it's worth $30,000 the day you drive it off the lot. And then you're spending money to store it, money for maintenance and gas and all these things. And I've told a couple of my friends, for say an annual cost of $10,000 a year to support that RV, you can stay in some really nice hotel rooms. And I mean really nice hotel rooms. So I don't know. It's just my personal bias. But I know people, too, that can't afford it, and they just have a blast driving all over the country. But again, it fits within some income percentages and some savings and how you purchase all of that. So you really have some rules about buying appreciating type investments versus just buying consumer products like a car. So tell us about that over 50-year-old person that might have that budget that's extended. What can they do now to get it fixed?
Yep. The first thing is, again, just like the young person, lifestyle is so important. That's what you're talking about there. These are all lifestyle choices. Am I going to have an RV? Am I going to travel a lot? Am I going to buy new shoes every week? You know, all these things that build up our lifestyle and our expenses. So you still have to focus on lifestyle. And a lot of times by the time you're in your 50s, you've experienced a lot of what we call lifestyle creep, where your income's triple what it was when you're in your 20s. Mm-hmm. But you're that person who said, I'll save later. In the meantime, your lifestyle is growing. You look back and go, how did I ever live on that old income?
Yeah.
But you've just let your lifestyle creep up. So one of the things we talk about is never be afraid to hit the brakes in reverse. Mm. And what I mean by that is you've been trucking along with luxury cars and a big house. Sometimes if you're being realistic with yourself, it takes a lot of self-discipline, but you might need to buy, you know, check down to that smaller house. That
Brian, how much
car.
Does keeping up with the Joneses
come
into
effect? It's so huge. You know, it's one of those things where we don't know what we need until we see what everyone else has, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife and I live in a great neighborhood, but we're definitely the smallest house in that neighborhood, so I see it all the time. Mm-hmm. But I like to live with the contentment that my house is very much within my means. My cars are paid off. Maybe that's not the case for those neighbors with the bigger houses and the three-car garage and the pool in the back, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, comparison is a deadly part of finances. You cannot get in the comparison game. And you just don't know where other people are coming from, right? We have people, I'm in my late 30s, and we see other couples our same age and go, wow, how do they have such big house, nice cars? I don't know. Maybe they inherited a lot of money. Maybe they're living under totally different financial circumstances. So avoid comparison, whether you're 25 or 55 is a big start. And then from there, you have to just start really buckling down and making long-term saving and your retirement possibly a priority, acknowledging that your timeline has shrunk. And there's some extra investment principle I think we can talk about in a second here about some things that I see a lot with people who are trying to play catch up in their 50s where they make some big mistakes.
Well, we're going to talk more about that. Brian Cochran in studio with us with John Moore and Associates. We'll be back with more. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is John Chitwood with Southern Boulevard Automotive. There is nothing like seeing an old classic car completely restored, except seeing an old classic car that's been kept like new by its owner since the day they bought it. Our lives are like that. Yes, God can restore us, and He does, but He also maintains those who belong to Him. Here at Southern Boulevard Automotive, we will maintain your vehicle and restore your vehicle after those unfortunate breakdowns. We are ASC Master Certified and AAA Approved. And free towing with repairs, just call for details. We are located in Rio Rancho at 2300 Southern Boulevard, on the corner of Southern Boulevard and Western Hills, across the street from McDonald's. Our phone number is 892-2300. That's 892-2300. And for maintaining your life and soul, or if you need to be completely restored to new, Jesus is the master of all, and He is only a breath away. Please call after Him.
Did you know that an estimated 26 million people have tested their own DNA using an at-home kit? People everywhere are hungry to discover who they are and where they come from. But did you also know that when you become part of the family of God through Christ, you get an entirely new, divine DNA? There's no need to buy a testing kit. The Bible tells you who you are. In Jesus, you become a child of God with all the rights and privileges that entails. Discover more about your heritage and identity as a child of God and what it means for your future in Skip Heitzig's book, Bloodline. This journey through Scripture reveals the DNA of redemption, and it's our thanks to you for your generous donation of $35 or more today to help expand this Bible teaching outreach. Your support helps connect more people to Jesus. So call now to give what you can. 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888. You can also give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran in studio with us from John Moore and Associates. And if you'd like to get some more information after listening to this show, you can go to johnmoore.com and click on the tab Insight. And they actually have a blog, and you can ask questions, and a lot of people will comment, maybe some of your own employees and other people that are participating in the blog.
Yeah, so we have a contact us page there too if you have specific inquiries. But the blog, we try to post relevant contact there about content about what's in the news, you know, what's happening, whether it's recession fears or trade talks or personal finance topics. And when my partner John contributes there, he's just got 40 years of financial wisdom from coaching families. So he's talking a lot about multi-generational planning and a lot of what he sees at his age and stage. So hopefully some content there for everybody.
Good stuff. So let's go back to this over 50-year-old couple, possibly, hasn't done a lot of savings. Maybe they have too high a car payment and too much home. You had an interesting stat that we talked about off air. You said that some years ago the average household had a 1,300 square feet.
Yeah, if you go back into the 60s, the average square footage of a home was 1,300. Now it's 2,600. So I hear people say, well, you know, it's so hard to save now. Well, we're living a much greater, just better lifestyle than we used to, and there's more cost that comes with that. The cars are bigger, the houses are bigger, and I was talking about this with a friend of mine from my church the other day. He has a beautiful new Ford pickup, and we were talking about, man, remember what a Ford pickup was even in the 90s? You know, it just was a different thing. So we're living these better lifestyles and acting like, how is it so hard to save? Well, you know, you have to sometimes check things back. And I'm not saying you have to move into a 1,300 square foot house. But I still meet people in their 50s. The kids are out of the house and they're supporting a 4,000 square foot home and telling me they can't find money to save. Well, there's some decisions that have to be made there sometimes that are hard choices around lifestyle, because checking your lifestyle down is never an easy thing. So with those people in their 50s, what we try to focus on is it's time to play catch up. And don't be discouraged. There's so many couples you work with who have wonderful personal finances in their 60s and 70s who really didn't get a lot of savings momentum until their 50s, believe it or not.
Oh.
But what I see is there's a fork in the road, and that fork is when the kids leave the house.
Mm.
Typically, your expenses will drop, assuming they've gotten through college and all of that, and hopefully the kids are getting off the payroll, as we call it. And couples tend to go one of two distinct directions. They start to save a lot. Okay, they use that extra capacity to save. They're at their peak earnings years. The kids are no longer needing that extra financial boost. So now they can save a ton. And they do that. And they play catch up and they get momentum and they kind of rescue their retirement in a sense. Or they go the other direction and they just lose control. And that lifestyle creep we were talking about really sets in. And they get the nicer house, the nicer car, because they have, well, look at all this cash flow we've got now. Now that we're not feeding three kids and going through college and all that. And I just say, if you want to be successful, this is where you sit down as a couple and truly prioritize together that savings is the course you're going to go down, because it's your chance to catch up. And again, it's make or break. IRS gives you extra provisions too. You can save more in your 401k after 50 than you can before. You get an extra $6,000 a year. So you've given the capacity, just been handed to you to save more, but you've got to keep the lifestyle in check first and then make it a priority.
So you can contact John Moore. .com and click on the Insight tab, get involved with their blog and gain information. Brian Cochran is in studio with us. He is with John Moore and Associates. They are an investment planning and investment management company. Christian based. They are part of the Kingdom Advisors. They sponsor MoneyWise programming here with Rob West on KNKT. We much appreciate that because it's so informative. And Brian's going to be a regular guest, we hope, here on ABQ Connect. We'll try to get him in about every 3 or 4 weeks. Now, I want to shift gears now, Brian, to things that are going on in the world.
Sure.
A lot of people that are nervous about the stock market because every 2 or 3 days it seems there's some new tweet or some statement by our president or some opposing politician that's, you know, we don't know who's going to be in office, I guess, from one day to the next, and it's just getting scary.
Yep.
What's your advice to people that are just nervous about politics and all of these things in investing?
Sure. So one of the first things I always like to clarify is people act like this is unusual for the markets to be volatile and for uncertainty to be an issue. And that's absolutely not true. It's always an issue.
Mm.
Okay. You look through history and look through all the uncertainty we faced as a culture here. I mean, even since the 20s when the markets really started to mature, you had the Great Depression and then you had World War and then you had Vietnam and you had oil embargoes in the 70s and you had the flash crash of 87 where the market dropped 22% in a day. I mean, can you imagine that? And then you have the Gulf War and then you go through the 9/11. I mean, there's just so much in our history. Now, keep in mind, through all of that, if you use the S&P 500 as a benchmark for stocks, which is common, the long-term return is about 9.5%, almost 10%.
Wow, amazing.
So when people say, well, there's uncertainty, so you know, that makes the market unattractive. Hey, if the market can continue that trend, there's no guarantee it will, but I trust that human innovation will continue and our desire for new and better ways to do things. That's what drives the market. Mm-hmm. I think we still have that potential to have long-term upside. So if you're going to wait until there's no uncertainty to invest or participate in the market, you're going to be sorely disappointed because there will always be uncertainty. Now, with that foundation, with all that being said, what are we looking at today? Well, the same kinds of uncertainty as, or different kinds of uncertainty maybe in the past, but the same reactions. The market remains volatile. One of the things we see a lot is people get caught up on point changes in the Dow. So they'll see a 300-point change. Oh, my gosh. Well, a long-term investor might remember when 300 points in the Dow was a huge shift. Well, now that the Dow is so much higher in value, you know, we expect the market to drop 2% about every 30 days or so. Well, that's a 500-plus point drop right now.
Sure.
And that's normal.
Right.
People hate it, but it's normal, and it should be expected. The market's going to drop 2% about every 30 to 40 days. It's going to drop about 10% every 12 to 18 months, and then 20% every few years. So that's just part of the game. And despite all that, the market has that long-term average we talked about. So the key thing is don't feel like you can't participate because there's uncertainty.
Okay. Well, the thing that I don't think any of us really realize is it's just not Americans investing in our stock markets.
No, it's a global marketplace.
It's a global marketplace. I mean, you have every country in the country investing in our markets, right?
Yep. And companies you invest in here have influence around the world. Think of someone like Coca-Cola or GM, you know, these major companies, they're selling products around the globe. So it's very much change into a global economy. Now, we still are the foundation of the global economy in many ways. We're still the biggest economy. We right now seem to have the best footing as a country, which I think is why the current administration is engaged in these trade talks that are driving the markets, because we are in a good position to go through this debate with China, if you want to call it that, a trade war.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot there behind the scenes, I think, that isn't getting press. So we have a position of strength here, and it gives us an opportunity to go into some of these uncertain times with a little more confidence than other countries might.
Brian, we're going to have just one more segment with you. I mean, sure. This has just gone really quickly. When we come back, I'm going to go back to that 50 and up person mm-hmm. that may have just experienced a windfall, maybe an inheritance or something like that. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. More with Brian right after this.
You're listening to Plugged In on KNKT.
Hey, boy.
Or girl. Whoa.
Yeah, you're definitely a boy.
In the new animated pic, Abominable, a young Chinese teen struggles to help a Yeti escape from a Shanghai billionaire and get back to his family on Mount Everest. This DreamWorks animation is made up of both goofy fun and majestic animation. And it's also a sweet film that subtly addresses the topic of dealing with grief. The only problems are a bit of potty humor, some broad magic use, and passing references to Buddhism. With those things in mind, we'll give Abominable a 4 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. Plugging you into the movies, I'm Bob Olszewski for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
This is a cow whose milk became everyone's favorite cheese at the craft fair. But cheese only lasts so long. The impression a small business makes needs to last much longer. And now Vistaprint is introducing free shipping on all business cards in any quantity. Choose from hundreds of fresh designs tailored to your type of company, or upload your own. The choice is yours. The time is now. For a limited time only, get free shipping on all business cards in any quantity with promo code 3131. That's promo code 3131 at Vistaprint.com. Own the now.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Brian Cochran in studio with us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. He is with John Moore and Associates, financial planners and investment advisors. We're going to go now to that scenario, Brian, after talking about the markets in general. We're going to go back to that 50-plus couple that may have just experienced a windfall, maybe an inheritance, maybe selling a home that they've been in for a long time. They don't have a lot of debt, but now they've got $150,000 cash. Are the majority of them going to increase their lifestyle and blow it? Or are they going that other way in the fork of the road and put this in a nice investment portfolio?
Yeah, what we see is people, the first option tends to be spending.
Yeah.
So I saw a stat a few years ago. I don't know if this is the latest number, but at that time, the average inheritance was spent in about 14 months, no matter what the size.
Wow.
And I've certainly seen it in my career. I've seen people spend upwards of $1 million in less than 2 years.
You know, you see people winning the lottery that do that mm-hmm. all the time. Somebody will win $10 million mm-hmm. and 4 years later, they have nothing.
85% of people who win the Powerball jackpot are bankrupt. So
that is scary.
That's why it's key. You know, good financial management is not about how much you bring in. It's about how you manage what you do have. Mm. So I've seen some people who've never made more than $40,000 a year who have wonderful lifestyles in retirement because they made the right decisions. So let's say that person inherits assets, and let's say they decide they do need to save for the future. What I see is people often choose one of two extreme paths. They say, well, this is all I have, so preservation is key. So I'm going to take no risk on this investment. I'm going to sit on it. I'm just going to put it in the bank. Which again, for an emergency reserve is appropriate. Maybe the first thing you want to do upon that inheritance is to take care of any short-term high interest debt, credit cards and such, clear those out, get yourself back on a solid footing, secure your 3 months of emergency reserve. But beyond that, is preservation all you should be looking for? Probably not. You probably still need to grow that investment going forward. Now, the other extreme of that is people say, I need to catch up. So I better make a lot of money quick. And they start looking online. They start listening to friends for how to get rich quick. And this can lead to a lot of really negative investments. There's a biblical principle. I think it's Proverbs 13:11 that says, basically wealth, earned hastily will dwindle. So, you know, getting rich quick is not a biblical principle by any means. The Bible teaches get rich slow methods, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea there is you've got two extremes. Do I preserve the wealth? Do I speculate and try to grow it? And that speculation could look a lot of different ways. It could be buying the hot stock. It could be speculating in cryptocurrency is hot right now. It could be going in on a flipping a house with a friend with some leverage. There's a lot of things you can do. What we say is throw out both those extremes, try to find something in the middle. And what we teach, and what any good advisor will typically teach is broad diversification. You know, the best way, to maybe get rich might be to have a narrow investment, you know, be the Bill Gates and just have all your money in Microsoft and hope it grows. Or you can preserve your wealth and grow it over time steadily by being diversified. So build a plan, have your priorities straight, take care of those short-term matters, and then have a more of a balanced, diversified portfolio. But again, the key is don't be scared off by, you know, participating by volatility, because that's the norm.
I want to ask you a kind of a final question today, and that's about how the internet's affecting all of this.
Yeah,
I know that if you want to buy a supplement of multivitamins, you can go right on Amazon and you can buy that thing in less than 30 seconds and it's delivered tomorrow.
Yep.
Amazing thing.
Stocks are the same way, right?
And but they give the impression that it's the same way when you go to the E-Trades and all
sure.
of these kind of things. Now, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble, but my view is I've had a number of friends that have gone away from investment people and they've gone into these online deals. And my perception, frankly, Brian, is that this is legalized gambling. These guys don't have the background. They don't have the information. They don't have the research. But these online applications are representing that they're giving you all of
yeah.
that. Is that your?
Well, what's changed in the industry in a lot of good ways is information is now everywhere.
Okay.
Which is good and bad. So back in the day in the 70s and 80s, if you wanted to buy a stock, you called your broker, and because that was the person who had access to get to those stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had the information.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was the best stock to buy? And really in the technology boom, you saw that change with the advent of online trading. What we've realized, though, is more information doesn't necessarily mean more, you know, better decisions as an investor. So you have all this wealth of information, technical charts and technical strategies for trading and all the earnings information on the companies. All this is out there now in the public, which is great. The public should have information. But what's missing is process. So everything we do is based on strong process. And most people who come to us aren't making decisions based on a strict rule of how they're going to move going forward. And then with the absence of process, people make decisions purely on emotions.
Mm.
So, for example, we had an investor working with us last year who really was not happy with the current administration. Let's put it that way. That's the nicest way I can put it. And so he sold out of some stocks that we didn't think that was wise, but he was driven by his politics and an emotional reaction to the political climate. Not a good way to make decisions.
Mm.
Okay. So have a process, and a process starts with first, what are my goals? Okay. How long your timeline is to invest might dictate how aggressive you're willing to be.
Uh-huh.
Once you determine how aggressive you want to be, you start deciding, okay, if I want a portfolio that's 70, 80% stock, what types of stocks? Okay. And then how do I choose each stock? I rarely meet people who are going through these steps. They're just simply hearing, oh, I heard about this, or I really like Costco.
Uh-huh.
They're great. And it is a great company. Great. But everything you know about Costco is known by everybody.
Sure.
So it's what do you know that everybody else doesn't that makes you want to buy Costco at the current price? So you have to have a process for making decisions so emotions don't override. God did not wire us to be good investors.
Mm.
Okay. When things are cheap, we sell them.
Yep.
That's when we should be buying them. When things are expensive, we buy more of them typically. So we have this inverted view of how we should trade. So process helps us avoid those behavioral mistakes that tend to make investors move backwards rather than forwards.
I want to let everybody know that if you have questions that you'd like Brian to address the next time he's on the program, I want you to email me at jim@abqconnect.online, jim@abqconnect.online. Send me an email, and we'll ask Brian those questions the next time we come on. Brian Cochran with John Moore & Associates. Want to, again, reference John Moore and johnmoore.com. And the Insight tab on their website will lead you to some good information. Go ahead.
And the other way to get our blog posts is we put them all on Twitter, and I try to provide links to good content. That's at ABQ Planner, at ABQ Planner.
Thanks so much, Brian. Great to see you. We'll see you here in about 4 weeks. Thank you for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect. We'll see you next time.
Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.